Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's the Spiritual Detox for Divas with Jennifer Diva and Amy R. Brooks.
Woo!
Hello, Amy.
Hello. I'm nervous, excited for today.
Wow, gosh.
I have a big mouth, and we're going to talk about sex, baby, you and me. We haven't had sex, but you do have a yoni, and I am nervous because I share too much. So,
I'm not kidding. When I said to her, I was like, okay, so sitting with, like, when we're thinking about what we're going to talk about, which we never actually have anything, what would you say, like, formatted out, like, what we're going to do. Like, there's no, okay, I'm going to ask this question, or let's, whatever. It's always like, okay, kind of like, what's the general direction we're going to go in?
I think people can tell if they listen. They're not like, oh, these guys are super structured. these girls are reading a script right here. I can tell that.
They are on it. They rehearse this all day, like, clearly. Mm-hmm. So I said to her, okay, I'm going to read this to you. And I said, let's talk about sex. And she's like, that makes me nervous. Because not because she doesn't like to talk about sex, because she likes to talk about it too much. And she was like, I like it a little, like, I was like, go for it. Go wherever you want
to
go. So this is going to be funny. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be something, because here's why I think this is important. One can like sex and not want it to be recorded. One can like talking to one's girlfriends about sex and not want that recorded. So that is where I am trying to find my balance so that I feel comfortable talking about sex in general. I can talk about that all day. I just don't like talking about, because it's private, and I like the idea. I remember my mom saying to me, and I think I was even married. I don't remember. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe I was dating, or I don't know, something. And she said, you know, there's so few things that people have that are private. Like, don't ever talk about specifics of your lovemaking or your sex life or something like that. Like, just have one thing that's, like, private. And I get that, but I can talk about sex in general. I'm good with that. And the energy change.
Yes, because that's, like, the bigger thing of it is that it's, we talk about this in the book about energy exchanges, period, that you face in your life, and, you know, protecting yourself from those and whatnot, and about the energies that are exchanged when you have sex with somebody. So, yes,
or aren't exchanged. Or aren't exchanged. Sometimes things are not, like, fully realized. I've actually been to conferences and workshops on women's sexuality, and I think it's fascinating because until we talk about it, like, a lot of people don't realize or think about what's normal and what's not, or what they're capable of.
This is very true.
Yeah,
see?
Like, multiple orgasms, like, women can rock out multiple orgasms, like, from the jump. Like, biologically, we're there. And men, not so much. They need to refuel. And that sucks for them. So I think, you know, if you want to take a quick moment of silence.
Yes.
For men.
Shall we just.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'm over it.
Okay.
So
sorry, guys. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. But women have to capitalize on that if that's something they're interested in. Why wouldn't you be? But just know that, like, biologically we're different. So if guys can have orgasms easier, faster, that's great. Women might take a little longer, but they can have more.
And isn't it interesting? This is, you know, this just literally came to me. So isn't it interesting, too, in this book, we have so many things about getting, you know, it's all about the spiritual detox. You know, you have the power. You know, you had it all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things. So what I feel, and it's so funny to me, it's kind of like being in Facebook groups where or on Facebook, and you could just kind of like read the energy, you know, how I do that. It's
mm-hmm.
like I could literally just read the audience that isn't even there yet. Does that make sense? Like, I could feel that, like, multiple orgasm talk, and that, like, people get in that they get in that shutdown mode. Like, I can't do that. Or, like, but what my point is that it's why this book is so important, because it's the healing and then we'll get back to sex. But it's the healing of all of that other stuff that we're talking about in the book to get back your power and to realize that you had it all along. So to be able to be comfortable with your sexuality, you have to heal those old wounds, patterns, beliefs. Or if you had beliefs that you were raised with or abuse or relationships where you weren't close like that, the thought of having a multiple orgasm even by yourself is going to shut you down because it just doesn't feel like something you could go there. So if you're listening to this and you're like, multiple orgasms, I would like to have that, you know, many orgasms in a year. Or you're saying, you know, that just doesn't happen. I wouldn't do that. That's even more to encourage you to do the stuff that's in this book that gets you to a place of being more comfortable with yourself. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Does that? I love when I say that. Would you agree? Would you agree with that statement? Because you're going to
yes,
be, what
I
are you going to say?
Agree.
No. No, I do not. No.
I would agree.
But that just came to me. What are you doing over there, Amy? It sounds like you're freaking rolling around with your phone. What are you doing over there?
Oh, no, I'm not. Not really.
Yes,
not.
She is. Can
I
you
just,
hear her? I want comments back. Hear her.
No, I have a very big sweater on, and my microphone was there, so I was trying to position it so it wasn't down in my foot.
I'm
just
out,
being honest.
No,
I'm not doing anything weird. Okay, so here's what I have to say about the correlation between sex and meditation. And I've talked about this with a couple of different people, orgasms and meditation specifically. And we allude to it not directly in the book because we talk more about it in terms of manifesting. But if you have ever meditated and you've gotten to that spot where you are able to, I don't know how everybody else experiences being in that. What do you call like the peak, the climax? So if you're at the climax of meditating, for me, it's kind of like I feel like things are spinning around horizontally, and I'm weightless, and everything is energy and expanse. I don't know. It's just this is like kind of a whoop whoop. Like every, I always feel like the whoop whoop thing
right.
happening. So once you get there once, then you have created a muscle memory or a soul connection or a consciousness. Memory. I like the idea. You've heard muscle memory before when people are like, oh, I take an aerobics class like so many times. Like, I have that muscle memory of like when she says this, my body knows how it feels to do like the grapevine with my feet in or out. Like, so the muscle memory behind meditation, I know what it takes for me to get to that spot. I don't always get there. The monkey mind comes and jumps down or whatever. But it's the same with sex for women. If you have never had an orgasm, you have to figure out how that works. And but once you do, then your muscle memory can kick in and you can, on a cerebral, like conscious level, bring that to lovemaking. So bring that to your sexual relationship with your partner. And the biggest thing, I think, is never to enter into a sexual relationship where you're completely dependent on someone else. You're like, good luck. I hope you can figure out what turns me on. And like, that's not fair to your partner. Like, you should be coming in with your own level of consciousness and your own ability to, we just were working on this with the book to release and allow, to really
right.
get into that sweet spot where you're both concentrating and allowing at the same time. So anyway, the point is, I really do think there's a lot, like people say, what's the biggest erogenous zone? And it's the answer is your mind. Because you can get really
yes.
turned on by, like, what people say or, like, how they see you. Or, like, without even touching, you can have a really sensual interaction and, like, soulful connection with someone. I think it's the same thing, too, with the act of sex itself, that you can really get into a mindset that I am worthy of sexual equality. And a lot of women respond well to sexual equality. If you say, like, you can have an orgasm every time, they're like, too much pressure. But if you say sexual equality because your partner is having an orgasm, ergo, you can have an orgasm, that resonates with people like, oh, yeah. You know,
or if you don't have a partner, you can have an orgasm. Like,
sure.
seriously, because it's like, you know, people are in relationships, not in relationships. You know, people are in relationships,
sure.
they're not having sex.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things. You know, let's not avoid the self-pleasuring topic because that's you know, very mm-hmm. prevalent. So, you know, what does that have to do with energy, manifesting, healing, all these things that are in this book? It has to do with, you were just talking about like the muscle, you know, like the memory that, you know, takes you back, you know, to that. What happens too is if you have the experience of abuse in your life, if you have, whether it be this life or another one, you don't even have any idea from the previous life, but you have that and you, or you have had a bad experience or something hurt or somebody was emotionally damaging or physically hurt you or whatever, it's going to come up for you and you're not going to feel safe. And so there's so many different things that we talk about in this book that go into the healing and the acknowledgement of all of those things that then lead you to, if you're listening to this conversation and you're like, oh, hell no, like that is never going to happen, hasn't happened for me, I don't see that happening, you know, in my life, having that sexual healthy relationship with myself or somebody else, that's just boom right there. That's a, I need to heal. I need to heal. Mm-hmm. I need to get my power back. Whoever's holding my power, who's ever holding and, you know, being, you know, holding somebody in shame or whatnot. And then you can get to this point, because when you have a healthy sexual energy, you are not blocked. It's free. It's so free feeling. And it's like you were to see, picture a channel being opened. A whole other channel is opened when you have that healthy, and, you know, people are all day long, you know, I want to manifest. Why can't I get this? Where are my blocks? I have money blocks. Everybody's all day long. One of the biggest things people are missing is that sexual, positive sexual energy that they're missing.
I'm digging that.
Right. And then we were talking about mm-hmm. the flip side of that. What about the negative sexual energy that's still in your energetic field? So it's like every single person you've ever with, if you have not done anything to get rid of that energy, to have it not invited to stay any longer in your energy field, is in your energy field.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
That resonated with people when you posted that, because they're like, okay, how do I get rid of it?
And you would just think of all the people that would never say anything. All the people that were just reading it and they were like, oh, what? Like, oh, no, I'm not in that life. You know, because very few people really comment or say, so for everybody that comments, there's so many people behind that are like, huh? So listen to us here. Yeah.
Following. It's, yeah. Those are the people who are following those comments. I'm going to keep watching this post. Well, and there, we talk about in the book, like lots of different tools. And I don't ever think that it's, well, I don't want to say it's never one thing, but from the people I've talked to, there are multiple layers. And one of them is that, to make choices that people are loving you. Like I always make this kind of disclaimer, you know, like if you want to have multiple orgasms or you want to have sexual equality or you want to be intimate with someone, like it does help to like them. I mean, I think that's part of it too, is that when you enter into the couple part of it, into the, more than just yourself, to actually feel safe and loved and secure. And I don't know, I think that's just different than just getting having an orgasm, like the emphasis on surrounding yourself with people who might know your past or understand how to support you emotionally, because a lot of women, if they've had anything negative in their past, get triggered right away.
Oh yeah, there's so many triggers surrounding, I mean, like I said, it's like feeling the energy of the audience that's not even there yet listening. It's like the shutdown mode of, okay, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. No, it's like this is a safe place to listen and be a part of this conversation, because you can do something about it. There's actually action steps to take.
You
want
to talk about action steps? What do you think? Like, if people are like, the action steps, like listening right now, what should we tell them that is comfortable for them to do just to start?
Okay,
I honestly think the first step is to acknowledge that.
Yes.
You're not 100%, because I, again, my first book had the word orgasm in the subtitle. So I talked to a lot of men and women, gay and straight, and the thing that I noticed a lot was, like, a lot of people who aren't satisfied sexually, who don't, like, really see that as a necessity for human existence. They're just like, eh, yeah, I'll say, eh. Like they make a noise. They're like, eh. And I realized,
right.
Like that's step one, is to say, like, you're allowed to have sexual desire. I talked to one woman. She started crying. She said, I heard other women talking to you about having orgasms. She said, I thought I was too old. And how do you think she was 40?
Oh, no.
She goes, I thought it was over for me. And she was going through a divorce. But that's the story that she told herself so that she didn't need desire. So I'm going to answer my own question. I think step one is to say, you can be sexual your whole, you know, I don't want to say your whole life. I mean, people are sexual their whole life. But, you know, it's just varying degrees. There's not an end, like, you don't expire.
Right. I don't cringe when I hear about people that still have sex when they're quite a bit older. I don't cringe because I'm like, hell yeah. Like, That should be the goal.
I always tell people, you're our role model. Like, keep on, keep on.
Yes.
We need more role models, healthy role models.
But I get, you know, I get for myself, coming from, you know, myself, I went through sexual abuse. I personally know what that's like to have to, you know, heal those wounds. So it isn't just like somebody over here saying, oh yeah, let's have sex. Let's be 100 years old. Let's have sex. Everybody should be having an orgasms and having a healthy sex. Like, I get the shutdown mode, like been there, done that, healed it and took my power back. And there's nothing better than taking your power back from situations like that, where you feel a certain way about having those close relationships with people. And so I just always want to encourage people that wherever you're at, you know, don't think a conversation doesn't include you because it doesn't sound like something that you want to be a part of or have ever been a part of. Or like you said, the story that somebody, you know, told themselves about, oh, I thought it was over for me. Everybody's different. So when you ask about action steps, the very first thing that comes to me is everybody's going to be different in what their action step's going to be. Only each individual person knows. Well, it's only each individual person. It's like these are your options. What here do you feel, you know, is what's holding you back, where your block is? People are going to be able to look at that and say, you know, they had a bad experience, or I feel drawn to get my energy in balance. You know, because it really could be your energy in general, your chakras, your energy, you know, you're a huge empath and you take on everybody else's stuff and you don't protect yourself. There's so many different factors. It isn't just exchange of people in your life that have either hurt you or, you know, had a negative experience. It's so many different things go into it, you know. So when you ask action steps, I would love to say, well, this is an action step that goes across the board. It just isn't that way. It's very unique to each person.
That's interesting because when, you know, there's something to be said for when you have a really deep conversation with someone and, you know, on a first blush, they don't seem interested, and then you get deeper and they, like, don't love their spouse anymore. So it's, like, really about that, you know, not wanting to be open because they've cut up. So that's, like, one avenue. Another one could be they have repressed memories of abuse or something, even not even abuse. A lot of women I talk to, one, masturbating was like huge, huge shame topic.
Right.
Like, so they accidentally touched themselves, or they didn't do anything. Their parents proactively said, like, that girl's a slut or that person's sexual and she's dirty and, you know, no one ought to marry her because they heard these words around and they didn't do anything, but they heard these words on other females. Or, like, someone make a joke about masturbating and their mother or some female will be like, ew, that's nasty. I would never do that. You know, so they didn't do anything, but they hear and they have shame around something they've never done or even got caught doing, or maybe they get caught, it doesn't matter. So that's another category. And then the other idea of just not knowing, you know, like, you don't know what you're missing, you don't know what's... I feel like women are complicated in lots of ways. I mean, biologically, we're complicated down there, and then add to it the cultural messages that we receive are complicated. And so I agree with you. There's not going to be
But you don't know until you, like, when you start talking about it, because it sounds ideal, like, because what happens is we want to help everybody. Like, we want you to get to this point and heal this and feel empowered and whatnot. So you want to get, you can feel that someone's going to be like, okay, what the hell do I do then? Stop talking about it. You know, mm-hmm. Are you just trying to get me to buy your book? Like, no, it really is very individual to each person. And it's that identity, it's acknowledging, just like you said, but you have to get to where you can pinpoint what it is to be able to acknowledge. Right?
I want people to have happy sex. I keep thinking
I know.
Buying a book would be great, but, like, I would love for all of you. You know why? Because the world would be a better place.
Because really, and this is the truth too. I'm serious too, because that's the energy that comes off of that is the highest consciousness energy that you can have, is that blissful euphoric state, right? Because it's almost like, you know, like out of body
connection. It's the ultimate.
Yes, it's the ultimate connection. It's all of those things. And really, oh, this is another thing I was going to say. So one of the things that happens with orgasm, wherever you're having it, whoever you're having it with, is most people let the energy out instead of keeping it in and kind of recycling it into themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, to give themselves back that energy of, you know, that. And so you know what I mean? It's like in most people.
No, I want you
out.
To explain this more.
Okay.
This is a little bit high end.
Okay, sorry. Well, it just came to me. Sorry. So one of the reasons orgasms are a major way to manifest is because of the energy that comes behind it, right? Most people are giving that energy away instead of, if you could imagine, when you're having an orgasm and you're thinking, and this sounds weird because it's like, well, shouldn't I be thinking about my partner or myself or whatever I'm in? But when you have that moment to just have that imprint of something that, not like an item or anything, but just good feeling for you, good things for you, things for your highest good, whatever it is that you're just giving that back to yourself, and picture like the circle for recycling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're recycling back into your own energy instead of giving it either to the person you're with or just out into the ethers. Like, you're asking for that energy to stay within yourself. Does that make any sense? This is why everything has to be written down. This is why you need like a class, like, to sit and explain all of this and have people ask questions.
I want people to know this is how we wrote the book, though. I was telling someone yesterday, I was like, how we were going to write our future books using the Google Doc, and I'm like, I'm curious to see how it goes, because if you could hear our conversations and how you take away, like, complete sentences from us, talking to each other, like, jumping back and forth. Okay, so here's a vision that I have while you were saying the recycling thing. So I have a trash can and a recycling can next to each other in my kitchen. And I have three sons who like to throw paper balls. So if they throw a paper ball into the trash can, it goes into a landfill and it's like lost forever. If they throw it into recycling, I'm going to like kind of pretend that that gets recycled back into things that I get to use in my house again and again and again.
Yes!
And it serves me. So if I can envision at a moment of climax, instead of it being like, yay, I ran across the finish line, and I, like, you know, you run through the finish line tape, and you're like, yay, I did it. Instead of that, it would be more of, like, an affirmation of alignment, and it can be, like, a feeling of oneness and connection and energizing. See, the problem I have with energizing is I usually – when I talk to women about sex, I'm like, if you want to cuddle after it's over, then you probably were not satisfied. If you are snoring afterwards, like, you were exhausted and satisfied. Like, that's just, like one physical way to start a conversation about, like, what your sexual cycle looks like. So when you say energizing, I'm like, oh, sleeping. But I want to think of it less as in, like, being, like, a hyper bunny, like, woohoo, that was great, I'm going to go, like, make dinner now. And instead thinking about it like a remembering of connection to something that is like so much bigger than just everyday life. Like people aren't walking around having orgasms like at the bus stop. Well, they shouldn't be. Like at the bus stop. And
you do not know what they're doing. You do not, don't act like you know their life. Maybe they are.
I'm saying it's not like a normal, ordinary thing. It's like a magical, like that's what people call it, the little death. Like it's like this magical moment that is so different from most other moments of our life that are more pedestrian and normal and like, does that make sense? So to appreciate the magic of it and to be humbled and like united and blessed by it seems really awesome as opposed to being like, done and done. High five. Whoop, we're all over. You know what I mean?
Catch me up here, smack. Well, and that's the thing is it's like, and it's not, and if you want to put that energy into your partner, and you were talking about having that loving, connecting relationship, if that's the kind of relationship you're in and you want to do that, you have this, you know, with your partner, but definitely like that recycling reference is perfect. If you were to think, what the hell is she talking about? Me, being me, because Amy always brings things full circle and makes them so people can understand my ramblings. But that is exactly what it's like. If you could, if you can just picture that as that is my way to recycle back into my own energy to create something I want to create. Because you know I love saying co-creating. So you're co-creating your life. So when you're co-creating your life, manifesting through orgasm is huge. And you're recycling, recreating things into your own life versus sending that energy, just not that it's not nice to give energy out there, but you're giving it, you know, giving it away. And one,
the universe doesn't need that. I don't think the universe is like just like the landfill doesn't need more trash. Like, it's okay to recycle.
Yes, the universe is giving us this energy to keep. You don't need to give it back. It's like, this is this is our gift. Like, keep it. It's not selfish, people. Trust me. And that's one of the things about what I was saying, maybe it's not something that's happened to you. Maybe it's because you're a huge empath and you're taking on other people's energy. Other people's energy is affecting every facet of your life. If you are a person that's very sensitive to energy, or maybe you don't even, a lot of empaths, it's like 50-50. You can meet an empath, which is somebody that takes on other people's energy, like it's their own, that will say, oh my gosh, I'm an empath all day long. And then you have people, I've put things up in groups over the years, like what is an empath, or, you know, just to kind of get a feel. And people, some people really are like, I have no idea what that is. And they're huge empaths and they don't even realize it. So it's like we've said a bunch of times, you don't know what you don't know till you know it. So when you're taking on these exchanges of energy, not just in sex, but at the workplace, at the mall, at the Walmart, at all these places in your life, you are literally, people are coming into your energy body, like into your space, and you're taking that on and it's affecting your life. So we really, that's such a big focus. Oh my God, it's already 90 seconds. That's such a big focus for us, is to get you to protect yourself, heal, have orgasms, manifest things, know how to do this, get the power back for yourself. And all the tools are in this book, Spiritual Detox for Divas.
And I think one of the takeaways everybody can have from today's podcast is the first thing is to take inventory. So if you need to do that with, you know, a friend where you're talking and like sharing, and sometimes that helps bring things up that you remember, but like take inventory of where you are right now based on the conversation we just had. And then also, do you think they could like kind of daydream or goal set on like what would be the best case scenario? Like what would be the next level of progress for you? And then like kind of start thinking about that.
Just having this awareness, just right now, listening to this and having that awareness, the energy is like, huh? That's just that, just listening to this and having that awareness is such a giant leap of a first step. I love it so much.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
Any other takeaways? There's 18 seconds.
I'm not embarrassed anymore. I made it through. We did it.
I know, and she didn't even get that. She didn't get that scandalous. I was hoping you said something really scandalous. Okay,
I know.
Everybody.
You're
thank
terrible.
Thank you for being with our sex convo. On that note.
Sex you later, baby. Bye.